Leaders of the Rosebud Sioux tribe faced a hard decision. They had a chance to get people vaccinated, and this was the question. Should they work with the state of South Dakota, which they feel betrayed them in the past, or work with the federal Indian Health Service, which they feel betrayed them in the past? The choice worked out better than they feared. NPR's Kirk Sigler reports from the Rosebud Reservation.
Lila Kilzenseit lost her 81-year-old mother to COVID-19 on November 23rd.
I really don't know who to be mad at. Who do I take my frustration to? How do I deal with it?
Kilzenseit is the first to say she's not dealing with it well. She had been keeping her mom sheltered at home as the pandemic raged in South Dakota. Her mom broke her hip, though, in September. Then, in November, she got hurt again.
She fell, and I had to make a really hard decision to take her to the hospital because I didn't know if there was anything broke.
With mom in so much pain, Lila risked going to the doctor in nearby Nebraska, then later the Indian Health Service Hospital here in Rosebud. They both got infected. Her mom went downhill fast. She had to be airlifted to Sioux Falls, where she died 2 weeks later. Lila is grieving and racked with guilt.
We lost so many elders. This past year alone, we've lost a lot of Lakota speakers. And what they took with them, we're never going to get back.
25 tribal members, most of them elders, have died from COVID on this isolated, long-neglected reservation. Hundreds more were sickened or hospitalized. Everyone knows someone who has or had it, so the arrival of the vaccines offers real hope.
So write your name down and then we take your temperature.
The tribe is taking the pandemic very seriously. There are temperature checks everywhere. Unlike in much of South Dakota, masks are required here, and there are still nightly curfews.
Yeah, my name is Rodney M. Bordeaux. I'm president of the Rosebud Sioux Tribe.
Bordeaux says emphatically it's safer here than in the rest of South Dakota. But even tougher enforcement didn't keep COVID out. There are just too many pre-existing problems, from drug and alcohol abuse to dilapidated housing.
Sometimes we have two or three families living in a house, maybe up to 13 members living in a one or two or three bedroom home. So it's overcrowded and it's hard to keep it at bay.
When the vaccines arrived, Bordeaux faced a tough decision. Go through South Dakota and its long history of racism toward Indians, or go with the perennially underfunded Indian Health Service. The tribe has a pending lawsuit over past appalling conditions at the local IHS hospital.
We were afraid. Our people were a lot afraid. They were afraid because we didn't have the resources. You know, we thought we'd be left behind. So we had to ramp it up, you know, lobbying, talking all the time, you know, making sure that Indian country was heard.
They rolled the dice and went with IHS anyway. It paid off. It's been one bright footnote to months of tragedy. Vaccine distribution here so far has been fast and efficient.
Second dose.
Okay, come on back.
The IHS hospital holds two mass vaccination events a week, a traveling clinic, and then one every Thursday here at the Rosebud Hospital. Amanda Bordeaux, a paraprofessional at the high school, is getting her second Pfizer shot.
I worry about my family members. My aunt passed away from it, and she was young, so I wish that this would have came out sooner.
She also lost her 91-year-old grandmother to COVID in November.
When I first got my first dose, I was a little bit angry because I wish it was sooner for them.
They'll vaccinate more than 300 people today alone. Analysts say it may not be perfect, but the IHS is at least a centralized system. There's a database here of the 15,000 people they need to reach, and they're practiced at immunizing people in tough conditions.
Be next just as soon as we get a room open.
Okay.
Some folks don't have cars or even phones. At first, the nursing director, Callie Raymond, had to drive 100 miles one way to the Pine Ridge Tribe, which had an ultra-cold storage freezer. Out of the some 4,500 shots they've gotten to date, only three have gone unused.
It takes a lot of critical thinking in how we're going to utilize this vaccine so we don't waste it.
Like on Super Bowl Sunday when they had some no-shows, Raymond drove to a supermarket where they got on the loudspeaker and managed to get all the extra shots into the arms of shoppers. Today, it's -6 outside and there are ground blizzards. Still, the tribe is running shuttles to pick people up in outlying communities like St. Francis. Snowdrifts cover the yard in front of Francine Littlehoop's house. It's one of the few on this road that's not boarded up. She talks through her mask as some stray dogs jump up onto the car.
I just stay away from people. All this day in my house.
Little Hoop says she's scared of getting COVID.
This is my first time. I wanted to get my shot.
The tribe has been vaccinating its population at almost double the rate of South Dakota, and for that matter, most of the rest of the nation. And it's not just here. This is the case across much of Indian Country. Tribal leaders across the country say they plan to keep holding the Biden administration accountable to its treaty obligations to deliver health care. There's an obvious legacy of mistrust toward the federal government, and this is playing out when it comes to the vaccines, too, even though they've been proven safe.
Most things, they tell us, have been studied for a long time. This has been rushed, and that's what puts a fear in a lot of people.
Wayne Bearshield is standing outside the Rosebud Tribe headquarters. He's showing me a huge banner that he just helped put up.
We call this the Shichango Nation, the Oyate, and the circle is all our people.
The sign reads, "Protect the circle, get vaccinated."
I know a lot of people out there are scared, but it's something that we as people need to survive.
Even before the pandemic, this county had the second lowest life expectancy rate in the nation. Only Pine Ridge next door is worse. Pre-COVID, wakes like this one in a high school gym for a mother and daughter killed in a car crash were all too common. It's here where I met Lila Kilzensight, who we heard from in the beginning of this story. She was dropping off food. She told me she was hesitant to get the vaccine at first, too. She has survivor's guilt, but she knows her mother would have wanted her to get it. So she's been helping pick up surviving elders and driving them to get their shots.
I've been so adamant about telling people, take it, take it. We have to, because that's the only way it's going to stop.
Kirk Sigler, NPR News, Rosebud, South Dakota.